This broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Appaloosas Avenue, New Orleans, Louisiana. And this is Pastor Gale speaking. And our post office box number is 6250 New Orleans, Louisiana, 70114. And we're glad to have you tune in with us again at this 11 o'clock worship hour. And may the blessings of our Lord rest upon us. And we do thank Thee, dear Heavenly Father, that we can trust Thee for this hour as we trusted Thee for the past hour. Oh, and how Thou dost teach us and bless Thy word to our hearts by Thy Holy Spirit. And we trust this service in Thy hands. Every soul before us, out in radio land, everyone who receives the tape, that our Father, Thy word will find its place in their hearts and lives. And be a blessing to them. Lead us and keep us in this hour. For Christ's sake, we pray and ask it. Amen. Now let us turn to number 39. Number 39 and sing, "Where He Leads, I'll Follow." Yes, we enjoyed having Dr. Copeland with us last week. Enjoyed taking him home, had a gracious trip in his home. And we sent him away with a love offering of a little over $400. And it just astounded him. And we praise the Lord for the generosity of the people, of you, who helped to make it possible. And there's still some more coming in that we're going to send him as soon as we get enough. So make a check to him and send it to him. But he was delighted with the trip. He said that this was one of the greatest weeks he's ever spent in his life. Among the people, that he saw different people when he came here. Now he's been through thick and thin. And he's been around, he's been down here, I think, around 13 times now. And it was a different people he saw. A different spirit, a different love. And he just couldn't get over it. And I tell you what he told me when I went back. We talked about it. He says, I'm 83 years old, but now I feel like I can live to be 95. That's how refreshed he was down here. And he had a good trip. So I praise the Lord. The meeting has done a lot for him also, as it has for us. And we thank the Lord for what also, something else that has already been accomplished. In this tabernacle here, and how the pledges have come in and enough cash to cover this cement structure that we have here. And we praise the Lord for the men who have had a part in it, and given their time and their money and everything for it. What a joy it is to see a people working together. Brother Bond had his men here, and they really did a fine job. And Brother Grammer, and Brother Davis, and all, I'm telling you, it's wonderful when you could just leave things to them and know that it's going to be done right. And I believe all of you are happy with it. That's where your money's going. You're going to see where your money's going. We're not going to make any promises that we cannot fulfill. And we only make those promises in the Lord. If we raise up money, if we collect money for something like this, that's where it's going. If we raise it for the pew, that's where it's going. And we're hoping in the future to get some pews that will be fashioned like the furniture we have up here. We hope to make it a lovely tabernacle to the glory and the honor and the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we thank the Lord for you and for your contribution to the work. If you haven't made a pledge, you still have time, because we still need more money to get started on something else. And they have little slips, I believe, on the back, on the desk, if you want to make a contribution to this work. And we praise the Lord for you. But this morning, in connection with many of the messages that we've heard during the week, there's one thing that stood out with me when Dr. Copeland was bringing the messages. And that was the forward look of this church, of this ministry, of the people in general as a whole. There's a backward look, but not to the extent to where you stand still or where you're constantly looking back. But there's a forward look, and we can't afford to look back. We can't afford to look back. But there's a constant going ahead. And I'm going to title this message this morning, A Forward Look. A Forward Look. Now, I want us to turn to the third chapter of Philippians. To the third chapter of Philippians. I do not know just how far we'll get into the message, but we'll go, and as long as the Lord leads us, trust the Lord for the message. I want us to begin reading with that seventh verse. The seventh verse of the third chapter of Philippians. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung or refuse, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I have already attained, and either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, it's just like a sinner who wants to know Christ. He presses on. He presses on. He forgets the things that are behind. He burns the bridges behind him. He presses on with a forward look. And we get that example from the Apostle Paul here, the believer. He doesn't have time to look back. He doesn't have time to be taken up with things behind him. Those yesteryears, those things have gone on before. Pressing on with one view in mind, that I may attain unto the resurrection. And also that I may, what? Lay hold of Christ. Apprehend Christ. Because first He apprehended me. And then going on, I press forward, forgetting those things which are behind. I am reaching forth for those things which are before me. Reaching forth. You have a spiritual, active faith that's reaching forth before those things that are before us. And you cannot let go because Christ has hold of you. And you laying hold of Him as you go on. You're apprehending Him. I wish you feel the impact. And I tell you one thing, if you sinners are concerned about getting to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He'll be the goal be set before you, and you'll set your heart like flint after Christ, that you might know Him. Paul tells us in the 12th verse of that chapter, I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Not as though I had already attained and either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. When Saul of Tarsus met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and you'll find that in Acts, the 9th chapter, the 6th verse. He said, Lord, what will Thou have me do? What will Thou have me to do? That was the beginning. That was the beginning of Saul of Tarsus' spiritual life. I wonder, can I ask you a question this morning? Does your spiritual life, you tell me you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you go back to that beginning? There's one thing about Saul, Paul now, because his name was changed to Paul. Every time they call it Paul, every time he was set before the kings, or he had to give a testimony, He always went back and related that story where he had it had its beginning, on the road to Damascus. As I was on the road to Damascus, I wonder where your salvation had its beginning. Can your mind go back? We'll get to that a little later on. Just listen now. And after the Lord met Saul, and Saul of Tarsus said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And then the Lord told him what to do. And he was led down to a place on Straight Street. And there in the house of Ananias, he prayed 3 days and three nights, poured out his heart and his soul unto the Lord. The Lord redeemed him, forgave him, cleansed him. And then it wasn't long after that, if you notice in that 20th verse of the 9th chapter of Acts, and immediately he preached Christ. He went out and he preached Christ where? In the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. The Holy Spirit confirmed that fact in his heart and life. He whom he persecuted, he came face to face one day on the road to Damascus. And then, after 3 days and three nights in repentance, in pouring out his heart, and in his heart unto the Lord God of glory, God forgave him and washed him and cleansed him and revealed the living Christ to his heart. And then it wasn't long after that Paul was out preaching about that Christ. There was reality there. Oh, once you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, there's reality. There's reality in that heart of yours. And you can't help. And you can't cease from telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's got to be a beginning, though. Listen now. The Christian life is more than just turning over a new leaf. I wonder how many of us, at the beginning of the new year, you made a vow or you turned over a new leaf. You're going to be a better man or a better woman. And therefore take that as living a better life, becoming a better Christian. Yes, many. The Christian life is more than just turning over a new leaf. It is more than just trying your best. It is more than just being sincere or making promises. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Salvation has its beginning in Christ. It is Christ apprehending the sinner, or in other words, arresting the sinner. Also, it is Christ grasping the sinner, laying hold of the sinner. Have you ever laid hold of Christ? Have you ever reached out for him? Have you ever grasped after him, long after Christ, as your salvation? Salvation has its beginning in Christ. And Paul tells us in verse 12 of Philippians 3, that I may apprehend or lay hold that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, before I ever came to know anything about the Lord, before I was enabled by the grace of God to apprehend Christ, Christ first had to apprehend me. And that's true. Salvation is Christ. It begins with Christ. It ends in eternity with him. In John 10:9, Jesus says, "I am the door." Now you listen. "By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." By Christ, he's the door. Then John 10:1 tells us, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." You may say, "I go to church." You came to church this morning. I ask you, do you know Christ? The door into the sheepfold? Have you entered into that door? Christ says, "I am the door. By me, through me, if any man enter in, he shall go in and out and find green pastures." But Christ is the door. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Did your profession begin with Christ? As you came here this morning, was there a hunger and a longing in your heart after Christ that he would meet with you and reveal himself to you this morning hour? I know I got up early this morning looking forward to the service today, burdened for them. Oh, that he would meet with us, that he would come in, that he would be the guest, that the King would walk among us. I longed after him as his child. I long after the Lord. Do you? Do you? You may say, "I read my Bible." And that's very good. There's nothing wrong with reading your Bible. But may I ask you this? Do you know Christ, who is the subject of the Bible? Have you found Christ as the living Word, as you read it, the written Word? Just reading your Bible is not salvation. It is just like praying. Praying doesn't save you, but you will pray. Just reading your Bible doesn't save you, but you will read it. Perhaps you say your prayers every night before you go to bed, and that's it. And I used to do that, and others have done that, and think that's all well. That's salvation. And hoping to get to heaven by that way. You are resting your salvation on works, and you're banking on your prayers to get you to heaven. Or you're thinking that living a decent life, reforming your life, being kind and helping others, quitting your drinking, your smoking, which is all commendable, but that won't save you. And if you're banking your salvation upon that, that is the foreign way of God's salvation. It's foreign to God's way of salvation. And that's true. Or attend the services. There is only one way that God saves a sinner. Now I want us to turn to John, the third chapter. If you want to, or just listen. There is only one way that God saves a sinner. In that third verse of the third chapter of John, we see the story here of Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." Now, have you been born again? Can you go back to the time and to the place? Now, you listen to me. Can you go back to the time and to the place where God the Holy Spirit awakened you? I'm not talking about a good feeling. I'm not talking about a great experience. I'm talking about an awakening. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit awakening you to the fact that you're a sinner. Now, I tell you the reason why I'm saying that this morning, the reason why the Lord is leading me to say this morning, is because without Christ, you will never be able to press on in a victorious life, in an overcoming life. Now, what keeps the believer going today? What keeps you and I, who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, going today, to where we don't want to look back, we don't want to turn, we don't turn aside, we keep pressing on? There's a power, there's an influence within us that generates us and keeps us going forward. That's not of ourselves, it's not of our doings, it's not of our works, but it's of God, and that alone. Pressing forward. Now, can you go back to the place where God, the Holy Spirit, awakened you? He arrested you. He apprehended you. And broke you down as a lost, guilty sinner. And there you admitted your guilt. You acknowledge what He showed you. Then God the Father had mercy upon you because Christ died for the guilty, lost sinner. Now, Paul never got away from Damascus Road. Is there a Damascus Road somewhere down your life? Can you go back to the time when God the Holy Spirit met you? Can you go back to the time when God awakened you and you saw yourself a lost sinner? And you admitted before God what He showed you. I can. And there are many places along the way where you poured your heart out into the Lord here and there, in this place. There was a time and a place God broke you. If you were ever a rebellious, outward rebellious sinner, God broke it. If you were one who were constantly lying and full of jealousy and prejudice, God broke it. God stripped you of everything, as He did Saul of Tarsus on the road, and in that 3 days and that 3 nights in Ananias' house there on Straight Street, God stripped Paul of everything in the world and left him with nothing, on nothing, but Christ when he got out of there. And he went forth preaching Christ. He knew nothing but Christ. Can you go back to your starting place when the Lord met you? Now, that's a good thing to go back to. Now, that's something to go back to. You know, when the Lord met me. Saul says, when the Lord met me, the light, great light shined from heaven, and He broke me. It was on the road to Damascus. Paul said, I was apprehended. Praise the Lord when He apprehends a sinner. Praise the Lord when He apprehended me. When I see Him taking a sinner and apprehending that sinner, we may not think a whole lot about what's going on. And we see one going here and one going there, one turning back and things like that. But when I see the Lord getting hold of a sinner, apprehending that sinner, and turning his footsteps back to the tabernacle of the Lord and beginning a work of grace in that heart, and teach that individual the truth of His grace, of His salvation. But I'm telling you, that causes us to rejoice and praise the Lord and just thank Him for what he's doing, which is a testimony of the Lord with us. It was Christ who took the initiative. Christ. Salvation begins with Christ. It's Christ who takes the initiative. It's not the sinner. It's not the sinners laying hold of Christ. It was Christ who took the initiative, smiting his conscience and pursuing him. Paul never got over it. I haven't. And neither will you if you are saved. You'll always say, what a difference. You can go back to that time and right there when the Lord awakened you and brought you under the preaching of the gospel, the truth, to deal with your heart for salvation. Hebrews 12:1 speaks of Christ as the author and the finisher of our faith. And then he goes on in that if we go back to Philippians, in that 12th verse, he tells us there, he says, not that I have already attained, not as though I had already attained, in that 12th chapter verse, either were already perfect. Now, what are you talking about here? The word attain means to reach. Not that he has already reached the goal, or achieved, or accomplished by continued effort. No, he hadn't accomplished all of that yet. But as he goes on to say, he said, I follow after. I'm pressing on. I follow after. Paul tells us that he had not reached the end of his course as yet, nor achieved perfection. The position of every born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is one of perfection, which I praise the Lord for this morning. Yes, we're perfect. That's our state. That's our position. But we have not reached the ultimate perfection of sinless perfection, as some may teach today. Hebrews 10:14 tells us, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Paul tells us that he has not reached ultimate perfection in soul, spirit, and body, but that will be realized at the time of the resurrection. And I praise the Lord for that hope that will be realized at the time of the resurrection, when God shall give us that perfect body. And just because Paul did not reach the end of his race, does that mean that he retired from it or was sidetracked from it? He said, I haven't attained it yet. Have you gotten to Christ yet? Have you been sidetracked? Have you been retired from the race? You've been discouraged? You feel like you want to turn back? Paul does not give a discouraging note here. He does not. I follow after. What are you following after? That I may apprehend Christ. He apprehended me. That I may lay hold of Christ, who has laid hold of me. You see, I press on. I press on. He did not reach that ultimate perfection, but he pressed on. And he did not reach the end of his race. And he did not retire from it, though he did not reach it. But Hebrews 6:1 tells us, let's go on. Sinner, let's go on. Sinner, you say you don't know Christ. You have no assurance this morning. Let's go on. God the Holy Spirit will give you assurance. Let's go on. Let's keep looking to the Lord. Let's keep looking to Christ. So run that you may obtain. You've got to run. Run to Christ. And you've heard that term. Run to Christ. Come on to Christ. Follow on to know him. At the Red Sea, the Lord told Moses to go forward. Go forward. There's no standing still. Exodus 14:15, and then also verse 13 of that chapter tells us, fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. Now, what does that mean, to stand still? To stand still does not mean for one to stall. It does not mean to give up. It does not mean to be at ease or to be unconcerned. I wonder how many of us are at ease. You started out to Christ. You started out. There was much hope for you, much encouragement. But now you've stalled. You're in a predicament. You stall. Some of you become at ease, content with just being under the truth, being among God's people. You're content. There's no urgency upon you. There's no pressing on. There's not following on to know the Lord. There's not that spirit. I must get to Him. I must know Him. What it does mean, now it does not mean to stand still. Now what it does mean, it means is to get a new vision. To gain new strength. To wait quietly before the Lord until He gives you the charge. Go forward. And that's what He's given His church. The charge. Go forward. We're still long enough now. Now He's given us courage. He's given us strength. He's given us grace to draw from. He's given us His confidence. And He's given us the faithfulness of His Word. Now, go forward. Let's go forward. And I believe this last week was a telling week in us going forward. No matter what you do, do it all in the name of our Lord with a forward motion. Just like I was talking about this here. Now, this may seem maybe insignificant about all this concrete, this cement, but we're going forward to the glory and the praise of the Lord. We are. Sometime He has to sit us down. He has to teach us. He has to show us His will. He has to teach us His grace, His faithfulness, His word. Give us courage to show His power, and that His strength is sufficient. Just got to teach us that it's all of Him, and that without Him we can't do anything. We must rely completely upon Him. And then when we draw all those resources in, and we know that they're all for us and not against us, then we're able to go forward, press on, as the Holy Spirit urges us upon us to go forward. So you see, as someone wrote me, admonishing me to keep on keeping on. Well, as I read that letter, and as Ms. Wileen read it over the radio, someone wrote and says, keep on keeping on. And that's true. But how can I keep on keeping on? Truly, I cannot do it in my own strength or within my own resources, but it has to be completely depending upon my Lord and trusting the Holy Spirit to move us forward, but availing ourselves as the instrument. We need lots of patience to keep on keeping on. Hebrews 12:1 tells us, let us run with patience. And sinner, before you ever get to Christ, you're going to have to learn patience to wait upon Him. Some have waited for weeks and for months. The Lord had to teach them patience. Tarry. The promise may tarry, but it will not always tarry. The Lord has to teach us patience. And as His child, we have to learn patience. I'm having to learn patience. And you are too, if you're His child. because we can only go forward with patience. Patience. We need lots of patience to keep on keeping on, and it is only as we do the will of God that we are going to receive the promise. Paul would not be stopped, nor would anything hinder him in his pursuit towards the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, if you want to know Christ this morning, there's nothing in this world that can hinder you from coming to Him. Now, you think about that. There is nothing. But you have everything going for you in Christ. There's nothing in this world that will hinder you. I know when the Lord got a hold of my heart back in 1952, He awakened me and began to deal with my heart in grace and showed me what a sinner I was, what a guilty sinner I was, put a longing and a hunger in a heart, in my heart after the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I saw the condemnation I was under. I saw the judgment that I was under, this world was under, and judging upon everything and everyone outside of Christ. And He put that longing in my heart after Him, and that hope before me. There's not a thing in the world that would have turned me aside. But I knew that if God would let me go, if He would turn me loose, I'd go back. I'd never come to Christ. But I knew He had a hold of me. And I knew one thing, I wanted Christ more than anything in this world. I put Him before everybody else, everything else. And I wonder if that's your desire this morning as a sinner. What is your desire if you don't know the Lord? Are you wondering about better times, better homes, better jobs, more money? Is that what interests you? Or is your desire, I want to know Christ? Now, if that's your desire, grace has put that there, because grace will not lead you into the world. It will not want you to desire the things of the world, the pleasures or the sins of this life, but it will enable you to desire the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, wanting Him. And the Holy Spirit is drawing you. He's teaching you. Paul would not stop, nor would anything hinder him in his pursuit towards the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul was saved. He's saved here. But he wanted to attain a higher prize. The many crowns that the Lord God of glory was giving away. And he was pressing for that high mark of the high calling. And as we strive, we press on as God's people, we don't know what God has in store for us except what His Word tells us. He talks about a runner who strips himself of everything in the world. He wears the thinnest garments nothing that will hinder him in his race down the pathway of life, down towards his goal. Lopping them off. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. In other words, no looking back. Oh, there's that forward look. The Scripture teaches us to look to Jesus and not continually looking back. The Word of God tells us to lay hold of the hope set before us, Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is your hope. And God the Holy Spirit has set that hope before you. Now, you are to lay hold of that hope set before you. You and I, not to be constantly wondering of what happened to the old canceled sins. No, as a believer, I praise the Lord, they're canceled. Isaiah 44:2 tells us that they are blotted out like a thick cloud. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more, for they are pardoned. Looking back at our past failures, this can be very discouraging. Forgetting those things which are behind. Some of us take delight in living in the past. There are those who live on past hurt feelings. I wonder if I'm speaking to anyone here this morning. You're thinking about how you were hurt in the past. You're constantly looking at, or if someone else was hurt. Maybe someone that you dearly loved. And you're constantly thinking about this one being hurt and that one being hurt. Not forgetting those things which are behind that hinders our progress in the Christian walk as a believer. Our forward movements, our pressing forward. Paul says, I count everything back there as dung, as refuse. All of that jealousy and that backbiting, all of that malice and hatred, all of that rebellion God put out of the blood, I count that for dung. And no one dared dig it up. I praise the Lord that many things He blots out in our members. Sure, there were times when I used to be jealous and times I used to be prejudiced against another individual. I had a hurt feeling. Somebody hurt me. And it was hard for me to get over those things. But praise God for His grace that gives us the grace to forget those things. Put them behind us. Whatever your thoughts, your attitude towards individuals, against this church, and maybe you probably have confessed it over and over again. All right, let's go forward. Forgetting those things that are behind. The failures of last week. You may have joined yourself with those who are in error. God opened your eyes and you saw the truth. And you're constantly thinking about this and about, oh, and this and that. But God's forgiven you of that. You've confessed it unto Him. You repented of it. Now let's go forward. Let's go forward. Many take delight in living in the past. Living in the past. Many take delight in talking and rejoicing over the old sins that they used to once commit. I know we had a preacher here who preached in our pulpit here. And he used to often tell us, as you know, Herman, you remember when you and I used to run around together? And he professed to be saved. And how we ran around together and how we did this and everything. And brought back those things to my remembrance, things I wanted to forget. And God blotted out, put on the blood, pardoned me for. And to dig up those things, I saw Him rejoicing and kind of smiling about Him. I couldn't smile over those things. Those were the sins that were digging my grave to hell. Those were were sins that caused me many pains and sorrows. Like to tore up my whole family and everything else before God got a hold of me. You think I like to meditate and think about those things? And laugh about them? No. They're on the blood. Grace has practically taken away from me. And now pressing on, I got greater hopes, a greater delight, a greater future, a greater hope. There are those who live on past hurt feelings. They dwell upon individuals that have wronged them. their unforgiving spirits. Some look back to the old days and the old pleasures that they used to once crave and desire. To those that are constantly looking back, we could only say, remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife. The Bible doesn't teach us to look back. It tells us to look forward. Go on. Press on. Paul never did say, look back. Go on. Israel remembered the fish they ate freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlics. And they looked back on them and, told Moses, look, you take us out here in this wilderness to starve us. Aren't the graves back in Egypt better than out here? Child of God, let our words be as that of the psalmist. My times are in thy hands. Isn't that something? My times are in God's hands. That's right. My progress. Everything, the path before us, is in God's hands. I'd rather look to Him. I'd rather walk with Him. I don't want to go back there. Go back to what? God's broken every string of that in my life now. All the springs back there are just polluted. But now my springs are with Him. The freshness. Oh, praise the Lord this morning for that. Yes, my times are in thy hands, realizing that our hope set before us grows brighter and brighter even unto the perfect day. And then he says, reaching forth after unto those things which are before, like a runner, straining every nerve to maintain or increase his speed. Paul gives the picture here of the believer longing to apprehend all that God purposed in apprehending him. And Hebrews 12:1 says, looking unto Jesus, not looking around to see others and how others are doing. Now, in closing, let's turn to Hebrews 12:1. Hebrews 12:1. Our time has slipped by here this morning. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, how are you going to run that race? How are you and I going to run the race? How are we going to press forward? All right, 12:1 tells us, first, laying aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now, you know what that sin is? I know what my besetting sin is. Now, let us, by the grace of God, lay that weight aside. That's a weight. Because we're in this race, in the Christian race. We're runners. And we're running towards a goal. We're pressing forward. And at the same time, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Not looking to join a church, or looking to get baptized, or looking for this, but looking unto Jesus. Now, He set the course before us. Now, let's look unto Him. Let you and I look unto Him. And sinner, I can only point you to Him as your hope. The hope that's set before you. He that apprehended you, that you may apprehend Him and achieve that purpose that God has laid hold of you for. The Apostle Paul said, I press on. I'm going forward. But we go forward in patience, in love, in the spirit of the love, in the unity of the Spirit. We're together marching forward in the army of the Lord. How are you going to press forward? Only by the grace of God. as he has laid hold of you, as he has laid hold of me. Listen, you're forgetting the things behind. Don't dwell upon those things of last week, those disappointments, those temptations, those failures. If I would have dwelt upon those things this past week, I wouldn't be here this morning. Forgetting the things that are behind, we press on. Press on, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. That I may know him and to know that faith. And it's that faith that drives you on. That's right. May the grace of God conquer everything in our hearts and lives. May the Holy Spirit subdue us and lead us to press on. Come to Christ. You'll have a beginning. You'll be able to say, yes, I can go back to Damascus Road. I had a Damascus Road. I remember a time when the Lord apprehended me. I can look back over 20 years now where God apprehended me. And I'll never cease praising and thanking him that he's put me on this road of grace, this road of faith, and given me his Spirit to where we can go on and press on, forgetting the things that are behind and pressing on. There's nothing left behind there. Everything is burned over. Looking unto Jesus, wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll follow. Is that your prayer, your sincere prayer this morning, as the Lord dealt with your heart, and as we try to present before you that hope of eternal life, that you may lay hold of Christ and look to him, the author and the finisher of our faith? He is the beginning of it, and it will continue in eternity. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you came this morning, and may God's richest blessings rest upon you. Come back and be with us tonight at 7:30. Let's stand.